Well, Thanksgiving is here. This year went pretty fast, it feels. Anybody feel the same? No? Some of you are like, yeah, normal. You know, but this time of year is, as you know, is the time to give thanks and to be reflecting on what we're grateful for. And of course, as tradition, I'm going to do a message on gratitude. And some of you have been in church for a time or two. You've probably heard thousands of these or hundreds of these or, okay, maybe not thousands, but quite a few. But hopefully as we go through this, hopefully it'll give you a little bit of a different perspective on the importance of having an attitude of gratitude in your daily life. It's no secret that living a life of gratitude is generally considered of great benefits. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, the opposite is usually not so good. When you have a negative attitude or a poor attitude, what do we end up doing? We end up, you know, being grumpy all the time, or relationships get confused, or conflict gets in there, and all kinds of different negative effects. But when we have an attitude of gratitude, there's clearly some benefits in that. And counting your blessings and naming them one by one is not only a beautiful hymn, it's also considered by many to be the optimal way to live. This counting our blessings one by one, just and looking at even those small things. And more recently, you know, scientists have studied the idea of gratitude, or how important our attitude is in our daily lives. You know, and how it affects our day-to-day living, how it affects our health, our mental health, and our bodies. You know, I believe in what they call a trichotomy view of the human condition. It's a spiritual, psychological, or emotions, our mind, and our body. I believe that we're made up in three parts. And scientists have studied this, and they study the importance of having this great attitude or a positive attitude, and it affects all three parts of our bodies or our humanity. I'm going to share with you a small list of a few as examples of some benefits of gratitude when we practice it. One of them is gratitude has lasting positive effects on the brain. This is so interesting. It's actually very fascinating. When a person feels the positive emotion of gratefulness, their brain structure actually changes and you feel better. First, the prefrontal cortex of the brain lights up. That's this pleasure sensors that we have. Anybody have like a nice big piece of chocolate or something, and you're just like, oh, that's so good. Anybody? Come on, I see you're looking at each other, pointing fingers, yeah. So, you know, when that pleasure sensor, you eat a piece of chocolate, and it's like, whoa, that is really good. Or for me, as you know, what's my favorite thing? Chicken wings, yeah. You give me a nice chicken wing, it's like, oh, give me another and another. It's so good. And what that's doing is actually firing off these neurotransmitters in your frontal cortex, and it just lights up, and you get this feeling of reward. And he also helps you with morality and social connections. Like, I just asked you, what's my favorite thing? And all of you said, wings. There's a connection there. Now you know me, and I get excited. And you've known me for a while now, I get pretty excitable about things. You get me on a certain topic, and it's like, I just won't shut up. And it just, we get excited, and actually builds our social connections. And it also increases our ability to recognize positive things and experiences. Gratitude actually creates new neural pathways in these zones. Actually creates more positive things. Repeated practice of it strengthens our ability to revisit those positive experiences and their emotional benefits over time. This is one of the reasons why addiction itself is so difficult, because when people use alcohol and drugs, it actually does a similar thing. It creates these dopamine and these neurotransmitters that go crazy and excitement, and there's this pleasure that comes, and then they stop and they want it more. But you know what's interesting is that might be for addiction. But you know what also? When we have a great attitude of gratitude, that does the same thing. And it creates these moments where you just get this overwhelming joy from the benefit of gratitude. In other words, the more you practice gratitude, the easier it will become to enter this grateful state of mind. Let's take a look at another one. Gratitude reduces stress, anxiety, and depression. When we feel grateful and activate these emotions of positivity and optimism, our brain releases a surge of this feel-good chemical and hormones called dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin. It's actually physically better for us. These surges enhances our mood and eases anxiety. There's even some evidence that a sustained gratitude practice abates the symptoms of clinical depression and PTSD over time. When I do counseling, I use a technique, more of a philosophy, and it's called positive psychology. Do a Google search, you'll find some information on it. But positive psychology, yes, we all go through difficult things, but my goal in that, using that technique of positive psychology, what I'm doing is I'm actually trying to help them find that gratitude and change the way they think a little bit. Next one is gratitude reduces chronic pain. Now, does that surprise you? It sounds almost too good to be true. But various studies on physical effects of gratitude are proving this. The Journal of Health Psychology published one study where participants who expressed gratitude reported less inflammation, fatigue, and anxiety. I also read another study on how people they've done a study, a longitudinal study, where they compared people that went through same surgeries and same practices, and they looked at the attitude that they had before and after their surgeries. And the ones that actually had a positive outlook, a positive attitude, what ended up happening is they had a shorter recovery time and they healed better. Fascinating stuff. The mental benefits of practicing more appreciation and positivity reduces physiological stress in the body, a significant cause for chronic pain. Gratitude improves overall sleep. Whether it's intrusive or anxious thoughts or chronic pain that keep you up at night, feeling grateful before bed can help. According to Professor Robert Emmons, a leading expert in psychology of gratitude, he says this. He says, focus on what you're thankful for just a few minutes before bedtime can provide an extra 30 minutes of quality sleep. Anybody want that extra 30 minutes? Heck yeah. Relaxing our minds and reducing our negative thinking calms the nervous system, allowing us to enter fully into that REM sleep, the REM sleep, and get true restorative rest that we need. And finally, gratitude helps us live mindfully. And what I mean by mindfully is the here and now. Instead of focusing so much on the future and having anxiety or focused on the past of hurts and habits and hangups, by having gratitude, we're looking at today. We're focusing on those little things and being mindful of that joy. How often are we totally lost in our business, daily tasks, and work stress? Most of us would like to believe that we're fairly positive. Most of us probably think, yeah, I have a good attitude. I have a positive outlook on life. But here's an interesting fact. The National Science Foundation reports that 12,000 of 50,000 daily thoughts, roughly 80% of them are negative. Between 12,000 and 50,000 daily thoughts, roughly 80% are negative. I think the 12 are probably the men, and the 50,000 are probably the ladies. That's why there's such a big range. Negative thinking takes us out of the joys of the present moment. We lose our focus on all the good things right under our noses. Developing the ability to notice the beauty around us and be thankful for our current situation brings us back to the present moment. In a way, we can be more mindful with our words, our thoughts, our relationships, and our choices. So the question of the series or this sermon is, are we living a lives of gratitude? Are we doing it? Now, this is just one author's list. There was actually more to the list. I just scaled it back a little bit. But this is just one author's list, and it actually could continue on in various studies. And studies are presenting new findings of the benefits of living a life of gratitude. But all this positive talk and all this begs the question, are we living the lives of gratitude? If it's so beneficial, and we see that, and that was just a lot of psychology and stuff. Scripture talks about it too, which we're going to talk about today a little bit. But if it's so beneficial, why doesn't everybody do it? Can you remember the last time you paused your life and to sit and literally count your blessings? You know, I'm not talking about a Thanksgiving dinner where we all go around, and I don't know about your traditions or not, but you know, most traditions are, hey, before we eat, everybody tell us something you're thankful for. Does anybody do that? Maybe. So it's more than that. When was the last time you just paused and sat down and said, you know what, I need to think about all the wonderful things in my life? Amazingly, our passage of scripture for the day addresses the very issue of, in addition to several of the questions we've already presented. As you will see, just because it is beneficial to live that way doesn't mean that it's an easy way to live. Living a powerful life of gratitude takes focus, intention, practice, and care. But it is so worth it in the end to live a grateful, empowering life. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 17. And we're going to go through, I believe it's 11 through 16 today. As we get ready for our passage of the day, it's important to remember that the story comes in the midst of a larger section of Luke that details Jesus' journey up to Jerusalem. He's traveling. As he's traveling, we see that he's interacting with all kinds of people. And today, we're going to introduce 10 new characters. An unlikely mix of Jewish and Samaritan lepers who approached Jesus in hopes that he might help them. There was this hope that they went to him, and it's kind of an act of desperation. Please help us. Let's take a look at this verse. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In their calling out to Jesus, we must recognize that they're rightly seeing Jesus for who they are. Who he is. He's like, Jesus, Master. They're looking at him as a savior, as somebody that can do something about this. You know, they recognize that he's the master or Lord in this verse. And we've probably heard Jesus and the miracle healings he's done, and accompanied his journeys. No doubt that they have come seeking him themselves, and they have leprosy, and that was a serious physical condition and the social illness of that time. Take a look at what commentator says about these folks. These diseased people, lepers, were forced to live in isolated communal settings where all normal social barriers were removed. The rabbis assert that theirs was a divine illness sent by God on sinners. So think about that judgment that they had. Think about how they were treated. They were outcast of the community. They were shunned by everybody. These lepers were not only diseased, but in their context, they were also disqualified from living a normal lives with others. This was a truly awful way to live. And as we read in the next verse, in verse 14, that Jesus only needed to see them before responding to them. Take a look at this. He says, when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. Jesus' response to their suffering was immediate and precise. He didn't even have to touch them. He didn't do anything. He just like, go. And as they obeyed him, as they recognized who he was, as they acted on faith, then what do? They left. It shows that their recognition of who Jesus is, and as they left, Jesus tells them, go, show yourselves to the priest. Remember, these are a shunned group, and now they're coming. The only reason the lepers would have shown themselves to the priest would have been to prove that they were physically healed in order that they could be socially restored as well. Look, I'm healed. Can you let me back in? Can I be part of the group? Can I no longer be shunned? They must have been overjoyed at that prospect of their healing. I mean, think about that. You're shunned for many, many years, and you're this outcast, and you're talked to like you're just, you know what? God's wrath has been on you, and look at this horrible thing that you have. That's God's judgment on you. And that's kind of the attitude they have, and now they go, and they're healed, and they're overjoyed with that. And as well, we see in their excitement, they turn and they do exactly what Jesus tells them. They're obedient. And this is where we learn about the power of being grateful. See, gratitude is intentional. As I mentioned earlier, gratitude takes focus, intention, practice, and care. Gratitude requires to be present and aware of what's going on around us. And we are about to see one of the 10 lepers was intentional about coming back to Jesus. It says here, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. See, the lepers left in verse 14, and as they were healed, they were to show themselves to the priest, but only one of them realized he'd been healed. And what did he do? How did he respond? He praised God and threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. That's an attitude of gratitude right there. He had it wasn't just excitement. It's like, hey, I'm healed. Now I get to participate and I get to go hang out with people. It wasn't about that selfish side. I mean, I know that if I was miraculously healed, I would probably be a little focused on myself. I'd be so excited. But this one guy, what he did was he recognized what Jesus did and in his gratitude turned around and went back to the source because he was grateful. It took awareness. It took an intentional perspective to enter into his gratitude. He was intentional in this. He recognized what happened. And so he stopped his journey, redirected course, and took extra time to give thanks. And I urge all of us to do the same today, because you know what? The same fact is true. When we take that intentionality and we purposely look at our gratitude, what are we focused on? We can focus on Jesus and have that attitude of gratitude. We can be grateful and thankful for what he's done. See, gratitude is intentional. It requires that we stop what we're doing and recognize and count our blessings and give credit where credit is due. Give credit to Christ. Stopping what you're doing and having a regular practice of gratitude is not always convenient. As I reflected on this sermon for the past few days, I kept reflecting on myself, going, you know what? I'm so busy a lot of times that I don't take the time to sit back and just be grateful. Even on I have an hour drive to and from work. And even during then, I'm like listening to something, or I'm putting some audio book on and headphones, or I'm doing something always. And I have to, I've really, God kind of convicted me on this. I need to slow down and think about my own attitude of gratitude. And I would like to think that I'm very grateful. I am. But at the same time, look at what Jesus has done in our lives. It's so much better than we could ever recognize. I would imagine that the leper who went back to Jesus missed out on something by not being with his friends. I'm sure he missed out on some things as these other nine took off and went to these Pharisees or these priests. I'm sure they had maybe a banquet or missed out on some things. Maybe they had that chocolate or those buffalo wings. You know, who knows? You don't know what they're going to have. Maybe he missed out on something. But what he did is this one went back and had something so much greater. Like a lot of things in life, what's best for us, what's healthiest and what's most beautiful isn't always easy to have. But when we prioritize our time and we recognize how powerful the practice of gratitude can be, it changes our lives and it helps us not only physically, not only emotionally, but spiritually, we grow closer to God. I want to share a video with you about gratitude, this young lady.
I have achondroplasia, which is the most common type of dwarfism out of 200 types. So from my perspective, I got lucky because I can play basketball. Some other types of dwarfism, they won't allow you to play basketball because you could be paralyzed. I kind of figure out possible ways of doing things. I know that I can't really make a hoop because it's too high up, but I do know that I can try as hard as I can, even if it doesn't make it in. I've had five surgeries. I'm able just to not have much leg pain. And for hip surgery, I mean, it helped a lot with me dealing with pain for a year. I feel like a lucky person because some people in the world don't have all these doctors or special help that they need that I have. What is it to be grateful? Is just big. Grateful that you have life, you have family, you have a roof over your head, you have love, you have kindness. If you're more thankful for what you actually have, you'll be living a more of a happy life. This is a quote from Dr. Seuss. Don't be sad because it's over, be happy because it happened. Like that. If I had a superpower, it would be making myself taller at points that I want to be and to be able to be invisible. No, be invisible and fly. And be fast.
What a great attitude, 16 years old. And I ran across this video and I just kept watching it and I just... Really, I admired her attitude. You know, whether she went through, I think it was five surgeries or something like that, she said. And she just has this attitude of gratitude. See, gratitude is powerful. It's a powerful thing. At the beginning of our time today, I shared that a list of benefits of those who express gratitude can experience in your lives. Not only is this scientifically proven, but our gratitude also is at the heart of God's will for us. Take a look at Thessalonians here. And I think most of us know this verse, but rejoice always. Always. It's Monday. I haven't had my coffee yet. I shouldn't. I don't know. Give me a cup of coffee and then I'll rejoice. No, it says rejoice always. And yes, there is going to be moments where we're going to be cranky or tired. But when we deliberately and purposefully change our attitude and go, you know what? I'm cranky right now. I need to have an attitude of gratitude. And you deliberately do that, we can get out of that so much faster. You know, and it's no surprise that Scripture talks about this. Rejoice always. Always be celebrating. Always. Just it really is about this attitude. Pray without ceasing. And we're going to do soon. We're going to go through a series probably spring, I think, about prayer. But praying is not just some, you know, structured words. I mean, there is some of that. You can write down prayers, you can write down psalms, things like that, but prayer has to come from the heart. So praying without ceasing is just talking with God and saying, "Hey God, I have a bad attitude right now. I need your help. Hey God, I'm really grateful right now. I'm just thankful and praising him for it." And then give thanks in all circumstances, not part-time, not a little bit here and there, but the simple fact that we're alive and well and we have people in our lives, and instead of focusing on what we don't have, let's focus on what we do have. We have a breath of air. We're able to get up in the morning. We're able to breathe. We're right here. We're able to come to church freely and worship God. We have Bibles in every language, well, almost every language in the world. Not, they're still translating some, but all the major ones, there is. And there's so many versions or translations, NLT, NIV, ESV. I think in my Bible software, I have a whole list of like 30 of them. Some of them in Latin and Greek and Hebrew and just about everything you can think of. If you want to learn Hebrew, I can show you how to, like, point you in the right direction. I can't do Hebrew. But you know what? I'm so grateful to have these translations because it helps me understand the Word of God more. God's will for us in Christ is to be grateful in any and every circumstance. Gratitude humbles us, redirects our attention, and helps us refocus on our Maker. It helps us refocus on the important things in life. I think it's fair to say that the full power of a grateful life cannot be completely understood on this side of heaven. But boy, we can sure get close. And that hope that we have for eternity when we accept Christ and we walk with Christ, that someday we are going to have an eternal joy. And eternal is the big word. We're going to have it forever and ever. And I'm so excited, not ready to go, but I'm so excited for it. As we finish up this message today, it would seem that this truth is something that the one leper was able to get a tiny glimpse of. Let's take a look at this. It says, and then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Jesus highlights the leper's faith and then pronounces him well. In this term, it isn't just speaking about his physical state, it's referring to his spiritual state. See, Jesus healed the 10, but only one came to a saving understanding of Jesus. Only one recognized truly who he was. Remember, he said he was a master. They recognized a lot about who he was, but they didn't fully comprehend who Jesus was. But this one turned around and he fully recognized. It's like the two guys on the cross next to Jesus. One didn't recognize who Jesus was, but the other one did. And the one that did went to heaven that day. The term used here is used throughout the New Testament to refer to salvation, healing, and wholeness. Remember I mentioned the three parts to our humanity? Physical, emotional, and spiritual. See, we have the physical and we have the emotional just by being born. We have that intellect. We have a brain. We have a physical body. But the one thing that's broken is that spiritual. And the only way to get the wholeness is to have that spiritual renewed, or to have that spiritual side healed by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. See, the leper not only made physically well, he was fully restored. His posture of gratitude led him back to Jesus, and at Jesus' feet, he found complete healing. It is here that we recognize gratitude and healing go hand in hand. So, what do we learn from this one person returning to Jesus? The one that came back with praise and thanksgiving. Through him, we see that gratitude is both intentional and powerful in the lives of those who believe in him. Not only that, but living a grateful life puts us at the very heart of the will of God, and he wants us to give thanks. See, living a grateful life isn't always easy or convenient, but it is worth it till the end. In closing, I want to share with you this verse in James. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all things, created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. A spiritual birth is what that's referring to. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. I mean, if there's not a verse that just, I don't know what the word is, just gratitude. I mean, it's just dripping in gratitude. Whatever comes from God, comes down, it's perfect, and it's a gift from him. And he never changes, and he chose to give us a spiritual birth by giving us his true word, which is Jesus. And out of all creation, we became his prized possession. I mean, that is one so beautiful. That alone makes me grateful. That alone makes me think, no matter what I face in life, I'm just so grateful for Jesus Christ doing what he did and treating me as a prized possession. Because I definitely don't deserve it. But I am so grateful he did. When we're truly grateful, we recognize that we've already have everything we need. Most of us are taught as children to say thank you, to express our gratitude. When somebody does something for us, thank you. Most of us understand that it's good to be grateful for what we have. But the last scientific evidence is now revealing that the practicing gratitude on a daily basis is not only useful, but physically and psychologically and spiritually transforming. When we unlock the power of gratitude, we can access more vibrant health, peace of mind, limitless joy, and experience magnificent, beautiful moments in our lives. With this in mind, take some time this week to specifically name your blessings in your life. And I'm going to give you that time today too. Focus your attention on that, on all that God has done for you, starting with your salvation, starting with your being born, just the fact that we can breathe. Reorient to your perspective and humble yourselves and allow space for the power of gratitude to soak over you. There's joy, peace, and hope at the feet of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our time together. And Father God, we are so grateful and thankful for what you did on the cross for us, so we can have not only salvation and eternal life with you, which is awesome, but also we can have that peace today, right now. We can have a life walking with you, and when difficult times come our way in this fallen world, we will have you to be there to comfort us, to help us, to guide us, to encourage us, to make us stronger. So we can have the ability to endure things and be lacking nothing because of your working in our lives. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit to be in our lives, to convict us when we make bad choices, and to guide us and encourage us when we need it. Father God, we love you so much. We're so thankful for this time that we get to come each Sunday to worship you, to praise you, and just lift up our voices to you because of our gratitude. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So before we get into our final worship songs, now I did cut this sermon.